It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Kane and Bucks. Can't stop.
Questions without notice. Power every moment with a Signet power bank. Keep your devices powered this season. Visit signet.com.
Hard-hitting question without notice for Nathan Buckley. Sunrise has just announced that David Koch will be finishing up on the show after 21 years as co-host.
Will he head to today?
He's going to finish in 2 weeks' time. Are you going to take his spot?
Hey, no. Hey, why? Why wasn't there speculation about Koshy's position?
There has been a bit of speculation about over the journey.
He's handled it well, hasn't he?
Well, 20.
He's just been such a great performer over such a long time.
I think he has, and he can now put his attention into what should he do with Ken Hinckley's contract, and that is the question without notice for you. He's won 8 in a row. They've said end of August. He's coaching as well as he has ever coached, but there is a push from some that think it's time to go in a new direction. You're Koshy. You've got free time on your hands because you're no longer getting up at 3 a.m. for sunrise. What are you doing with the coach?
Yeah, well, you don't need to do it until they said they were going to, which is late in the year. August, I think, was the date they said. Yep. The players are playing for him. They love the coach. You just keep him
going.
Let it
go.
North effort in the last couple of weeks. Has that got anything to do with the coaching change?
Yep, I think it does.
So has it freed them up?
I think it's freed them up, yeah, mentally. I mean, it was a big...
Is that because of the...
Burden.
The weight on...
Yes.
On Alistair Clarkson from outside the club.
Which had manifested itself into his inability to coach at his best.
Right.
And if you are sitting there and you're having chairs thrown at walls at half time, you're probably not going to play your best, or you're not going to have the freedom to play at your best. And I think Brett Ratten coming in with, you know, with a couple of fresh ideas and just releasing that weight has absolutely helped. The big guns came to play, didn't they, on the weekend? Where does Toby Green sit in stars of this game for you?
Well, he's right up there. He's a top. I put him in as a top 10 player in the competition. I know some have had him top 5.
Yes.
I think he's been an exceptional player for a long period of time. The fact that opposition sides acknowledge and then plan for him every time you come up against him, and yet he finds a way through and around and past that pressure and that plan, shows you how good he is. It's, I mean, the forward roles. Yeah, you get a forward gets tagged every minute of every game. So it's not like midfielders who will have their opportunities to run around and free will a little bit.
We had him on Thursday on Sports Day because it was his 200th game, and not dissimilar to the question I asked about Lachie Neale. Essentially, what makes you good?
Mm.
And he said the work that he does preparing for his opponent, he sees as one of his real strengths. And that was, I wasn't expecting him to answer that. I would have thought, you know, positioning and strength in the gym and the ability to win one-on-ones. But he actually said the preparation he puts in into knowing who's going to play on him, because exactly that, he knows he's going to get tagged every week, and backing himself in to beat that player was one of his real strength. And he's humble. It's hard to get those answers out of players from time to time, but I thought it was a pretty good insight.
Well, he's not a classically skilled player, is he?
No.
But he just gets it done. He's an effective player. And Dane Swan wasn't a classically skilled player, but he continued to get it done. So it's work rate, it's rat cunning and smarts, it's ability to understand the moment, and then it's just desperation to get it done. I've got one for you. Have you ever had a burner Twitter account?
Why do you ask?
Because there's something hitting the rounds at the moment where an umpire in the NBA is being investigated for having a burner Twitter account that defended the umpiring fraternity.
Is that not allowed?
And himself. It's like those ones where you go, oh, that's clearly Or when someone says something positive about you, well, thanks, Mum.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, it's like you defending yourself. Have you ever done that? You should.
I haven't had a burner account, but I'd need more than one.
How good would that be? Like, and apparently Kevin Durant I didn't know that this existed.
And he got busted.
Kevin Durant set up a couple of burner accounts defending himself and having a crack at people that were having a crack at him. That's great. I love that.
What was one thing you learnt from sitting in Fremantle's coach's box on the weekend?
I didn't learn it, but it was reinforced. We focus on the senior coach. So for Freo, you're looking at Justin Longmuir, clearly. But here's Matthew Boyd, Joel Corey, and Jamie Graham, mm-hmm. who are three probably understated. I mean, Joel Corey's gone in there, obviously had a lot of success as a player. Matty Boyd, gun at Bulldogs. And Jamie Graham, who is respected for his coaching and has had a really strong coaching apprenticeship. The communication between those four, and then, of course, they've got a couple of analysts and a performance director that's sitting in there as well. But there actually wasn't that many in the box. There's only five or six that were in the main area. And the conversations and the decisions that are being made, it's very collaborative. And that's how great coaching panels work together. But it was a reinforcement for me that it's not just, you know, we all the pressure and expectation goes to the guy in the big seat.
Mm.
But it's the panel that get it done. And then obviously the connection with the playing group, which was really strong. But yeah, so those three, Boyd, Corey and Graham, have as much to say in how things operate and the connection with the playing group as the senior coach
does. Did it make you want to do it?
No, there were elements. Bob Murphy was in there and we were I was standing next to him when the players were doing the high fives and the hugs just before they got out, and sort of Bob looked and he goes, this is the part you miss. And I said, yeah, it is. This is the part that you miss about playing. And then when the Freo guys had earned the win and they came back in and sang the song and they're up and about with each other. And that's a part you miss.
Mm.
And you can see on the faces, all of the people that contribute in some shape or form ride the highs and the lows. So if you've got a bit of momentum and you've got a bit of youth, you've got a bit of excitement and you've had a good win against a rated opponent on an away game, there was a really good feeling in the rooms. And that's hard to replace in the rest of your life.
So I know you did this during the week on SEN, but you haven't done it with me. If Brendan Gale rings you next week and says, Bucks, we would be interested in you applying for the Richmond position, would you consider it?
No, I won't be doing that. It's not about Richmond, and it's not about
No, but that's the team with a vacancy at the moment.
No, I understand, and that's the thing. It's not about where teams are at or whether there's a vacancy. It's where I'm at, and it's not on my radar at all. I went in there to help to absorb it and maybe provide a one out, one back bit of feedback for J-Lo and his group. But I also went in there because, and I've had the good fortune of being able to do this, but to be more prepared for this role and to have a greater insight into this role. So I haven't sat in a coach's box it's been a long time since I've sat in a coach's box and just observed. I had the opportunity before I started coaching, but so this is the first time I've been able to do it for a while, and it is great. It's great to be able to have that access. I feel very grateful and fortunate to be able to. And thanks to Freo and to Justin for providing that opportunity. But it was enjoyable, and it's given me a greater insight into Freo and Melbourne and that game that I might not have got if I hadn't have sat there.
That was Questions Without Notice for Signet Power. Every moment with a Signet Power Bank. Keep your devices powered this season. Visit signet.com.au. Just repeating the news that David Koch is standing down as host of Sunrise in a couple of weeks' time. He's been there for 21 years. Congratulations.
Potentially
to
linked to a move to today. We'll see how that goes.
Plenty still to come on SEM Breakfast after this. We can take your calls right through until 9 o'clock. Still to come, Isaac Quayne is going to join us as well, but Stuart has been waiting patiently. You want to speak about Tim Taranto with a question for Bucks. Welcome, Stewie.
Yeah, and Bucks, thank you very much.
That'll stick.
Just a quick one of Nathan, because it's been done to death, I know, and I think gave some votes to Tim on the weekend. But just a question to you on your thoughts of his season and where you think I'm putting on the spot, but where he may be bad in the competition. And I was talking to my sons this morning, and they said, did he play this well at GWS? We were sort of just wondering that as well. So
he had a standout year a couple of years back. But yes, he has always had this ability, and he can play at this level. I think Richmond's performances, the club itself has probably capped the best of what we've got from any of their players, to be honest. And when sides are playing really connected and tight football, then everyone looks like they're playing at their best. But I think Taranto's season has been somewhat underrated. It was his best game for the year. And one of the reasons it separated was because he was able to hit the scoreboard. So he's always going to give you the clearances and the contested ball. And that's actually surprised me, sort of how strong he is inside and how consistent he has been with that. But, being able to finish on the scoreboard was the standout trade of the weekend and elevates his contribution, no doubt.
Good on you, Stewie. Let's go to Glenn, who wants to speak about Port Adelaide. G'day, Glenn.
Okay, fellas, how are you?
Good.
Very well.
I thought the game, I just want to question, it's probably an odd one. I thought the game showed, I'm a Richmond supporter, I thought it showed that Port are fair dinkum, because I reckon we bought an unbelievable contest. The intent from Richmond was four-quarter effort yesterday and to a good Port, and I thought that shows that they are ready, because you're going to get that on the MCG. I know Richmond are 15th on the ladder, but in a final, and to be able to absorb it, match it, I thought that was pretty good. But what I also question for Bucks is, I reckon, are Geelong gone? Because, yeah, they lost to GWS, they lost to Gold Coast, but there's one team that wasn't able to match Richmond. They're like an old bully throwing big punches, Richmond, and Collingwood, Melbourne, Port, they all took it. Geelong, they couldn't beat Richmond, and I reckon that, I don't reckon they're up to it.
It's a fair point. And the evidence in the first half of this season would suggest that you're not far wrong. The two grand final sides of last year, neither of them are in the eight. Combined, they lost 10 games in the home and away last year. Combined this year already, we're not even halfway through, they've lost 12, both at 5 and 6. So there's real question marks over whether, because they had a slow start and then they had a little pop and then they've dropped off, the Cats again. This is a bloody hard game. Like, it is so hard and marginal at the top end. And Glenn's comments about Port Adelaide are spot on, because Richmond can't, it felt different towards the end of the third quarter. He thought, Port aren't, don't seem to have exactly the same energy that they've had in these close wins. But then you just remember that they've got that muscle memory. And the last quarter, they were dominant.
The last quarter was
absolutely
amazing.
Dominant. Yeah, so it's a fair point, and very good call. The question marks are there on both the Cats and Sydney, because they've got a bit of ground to make up to get there.
What they've done with no forward line, Port Adelaide has been unbelievable, really. When there's no Marshall, no Dixon, George Yardix has got the knee, so it's been a bit of Ryan Burton. Yesterday it was a bit of Bergman and Ollie Lord, so a strong performance. Still don't think they are in the premiership conversation.
Of course they are.
They're not.
Of course they are.
You think Port Adelaide can win the premiership?
Well, of course they can.
I don't think they can.
That's interesting, mate. So what are they? They're sitting third on the ladder? Second on the ladder?
They're second on the ladder. They've won 8 in a row. But I think there is personnel issues that will prevent them from winning a premiership this year.
Well, mate, let's just hand it to Collingwood now then.
Well, it's an opinion
let's
game.
Let's just,
that is my opinion now.
Well, you're Nostradamus then. I can't beat you. If you're saying that the side that is second placed on the ladder, that have only lost two games through the year, cannot win the premiership.
That's what I'm saying to you.
Okay.
Well, that is a big scoop.
I reckon they can.
All right. Well, we disagree.
Because you know what? It hasn't happened yet. So they can.
Okay.
I've had a few nominations for movies. The Green Book, Nobody, and The Accountant. So thanks, Big Al. I've seen a couple of those. But if anyone has any movie recommendations from the last sort of 6, 7, 8 years, then I'm looking
for it. Don't worry about movies. Plonk yourself in front of Succession and watch the whole thing. Just binge watch it. The finale will be today. It is Succession Day as we build up to the finale at about 11 o'clock today. never been excited for anything more in my life, apart from when Jason Horne-Francis kicks big goals in last quarters. We're off for a McCafe break for a coffee. Isaac Quaynor is up next.